Must reflect upon the subject of death, in particular the death of those who have gone on before us, the death of those who've laid down their lives in service to our country, and also our own mortality. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. Every single one of us in this room has an appointment with death. Yet, as followers of Jesus, we view living, dying, and death from a totally different worldview than a secular, non-Christian person. Today's title and text reveal how each of us should look at living and dying from a radically different perspective than that of a non-Christian. That's the reason that the title of today's message is When. And our text is Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. Let's take a look at the text this morning. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will be the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I really don't know. I can't tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more necessary or needful for you. Today, as we consider this subject of living and dying, and what our perspective should be, look carefully at point number one. You gotta have priority. That's right. You've gotta have priority. Once again, God's Word says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so also now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, Paul's priority, the one who wrote this letter, Paul's priority focused upon God's plan for his life. Notice the word in this verse 20, the words earnest expectation. Actually, it is a lengthy word in the original language. It is spelled A-P-O-K-A-R-A-D-O-K-E-I-N. That is a long word. Actually, what Paul has done is he's taken three Koine Greek words and brought them all together into one word. The A-P-O stands for or represents away from, apo. Kara, which means head. Dokein, which means to watch. Literally, the word earnest expectation means to stretch the neck in an eager longing to see something or someone. Let me use an example. I've already told you last year about the encounter or experience that my family and I had on vacation in Southern California. We happened upon a scene where there's a crowd of a large group of people. They were all craning their necks and all straining their necks to see something. So finally, we, out of curiosity, we asked, what are people looking at? Well, it wasn't what, it was who. They were filming a movie there. And the star of the movie was a person by the name of Justin Timberlake. They said, oh, that's Justin Timberlake. And I said to my wife, who's that? And I didn't know, and she really didn't know. So what do? You get on the phone and you text a friend, and you text the friend and say, who is this? And she's a famous singer. And all these people were craning and stretching their necks to see him, and there I just stood indifferent as I watched. Now, the issue here is that we're all wired differently. To use the vernacular, what floats my boat doesn't necessarily float your boat, and what floats your boat does not necessarily float mine. For me, music is just not that much of an issue. I don't listen to secular music. I don't listen to much music at all. Most of the music I hear Sunday morning here in worship, Sunday night in worship, and Wednesday night in our chapel service. That's the extent of my music during the week. So, you know, we're all different and we all have different priorities. But for those who were standing there that day, their priority was to see Justin Timberlake. And by the way, the majority of people who were standing there were young girls. Okay, I want you to understand that. And they were just craning their necks trying to see. Now, it didn't affect me at all. It wasn't a priority for me. But if I had walked up to that scene and I would have asked the question, what's going on here? And somebody would have answered, well, the person over in that car is the head basketball coach at the University of Kentucky, John Calipari. I would have said, where is he? Show me. Show me where he's at. Oh, there he is. Hey, Coach Cal, it's Mike. You know me? I'm the big fan from Colorado Springs. I'd have been stretching my neck. You know, I'd have been a priority. If it had been Albert Pujols, it'd have been a priority. Troy Tulowitzki, it'd have been a priority. If it had been someone else who plays baseball, basketball, or football, if it had been a famous football player, you better believe I'd have been up there and I'd been straining my neck rather than just passively sitting by and just watching everything going on. You see, Paul is using this word of stretching the neck. And using the word, we must ask ourselves the question, what is he asking here? What is he saying? Simply stating, Paul is saying, I have a top priority. Earnest expectation means top priority. You see, for that day, for many of those girls standing around, their priority was to see this famous singer. If Coach Cal had been there, that would have been my priority. I'd have raced across the street and gotten his autograph. Probably been put in jail, but you know how security is. But Paul is talking about an eager longing and confident expectation. So what was he spiritually stretching his neck toward? Toward this priority in his life. And what was Paul's priority in his life? It was this. It was that whether he lived or died, that didn't matter. The greatest priority of his life was that Christ would be magnified in his body, whether it was through living or through dying. Now, this word magnified is a really neat word. It's spelled M-E-G-A-L-U-N-O, megaluno. The mega is where we get our English word large. Megabucks, megachurch. Or in today's vernacular, we could use the word supersize. When you go to a fast food place and you want the largest size, you supersize it. It means larger. Larger size, larger fat grams, larger calories, larger artery cloggers. It's called mega. This long verse has one central truth for Paul and for us. Whether we live or whether we die, it's not the issue. The priority is this, that Jesus Christ is magnified, that Jesus Christ is made large in our lives, either through living or through dying. That was the apostle's priority in regard to living or dying. Point number two. Not only do you got to have priority, but you got to have passion. The Bible says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul writes these words in Colossians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. He says, your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life. When Paul declares, for me to live is Christ, he means that for him, life means Christ. In other words, Christ and Christ alone gives him inspiration, direction, meaning, and purpose for his existence. This life with Christ was a challenging one for Paul. He suffered imprisonment. He suffered afflictions, sufferings, strugglings, beatings, stonings, weariness, pain, and all kinds of dangers. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, no wonder he said, to die is gain. If Paul lived, he would serve Christ. If Paul died, he would worship and serve God in heaven. Either way, whether living or dying, Paul wins. And that's the neat thing about the Christian life. If we live, we win. If we die, we win. Either way, we win. The world cannot look at death that way. If they live, they win. If they die, they lose. When I quote this verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, I'm always reminded of the life of Bill Wallace. The son of physician, he followed in the footsteps of his father. Upon graduation from medical school, he was invited to join a team of doctors in a prestigious medical practice. He could have become both famous and wealthy in his profession. However, Bill Wallace felt God called him to be a medical missionary. That is, to use his skills as a physician to go overseas and not only to be God's instrument in bringing physical healing, but also in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of his patients. So he turned down this lucrative offer here in the States and went to the Stout Memorial Hospital in Wuchang, China. The year was 1935. He fell in love with the Chinese people, and they loved him. Well, while he served, the hospital, Stout Memorial Hospital, saw a 50% increase in the number of patients. Wallace worked patiently during the day and throughout the night for these Chinese people. One person said this: the Chinese had heard sermons before, but in Bill Wallace, they began to see one for the first time, and that made all of the difference. During this time in which he's serving as a medical missionary there in Wuchang, China, the communist movement began expanding across the country. A campaign was begun against all foreigners who could not be trusted. And then the Korean conflict broke out. Hatred for Americans grew, but yet the simple people of Wuchang, China, loved Bill Wallace. Things became so dangerous that the American consul there in Wuchang informed Americans that they needed to get out. They ordered all Americans to get out, but Dr. Bill Wallace and his staff refused to leave. He could have escaped to safety, could have returned to America, and could have had a lucrative medical practice, but he stayed because of his love for the Chinese people and his burden that all of them hear the message of Jesus. Government officials could not get rid of him, so they began spreading rumors that Bill Wallace was an American spy, that he was one of the President Truman's chief spies in China. And then one morning around 3 a.m., he heard someone banging on his door and someone on the outside saying, "I've got a sick person here who needs care." And when he opened the door, Bill Wallace was arrested. He was put in prison. He experienced inhumane treatment, interrogated hourly, savagely beaten. And finally, as he was there in that prison, even through his pain, he was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through the windows of that prison to passersby up and down the streets. But when his body could no more stand the interrogation and the savage beatings, Bill Wallace passed away. The local people who loved him came and took his body for burial. They buried Bill Wallace's body in a simple cemetery there in Wuchang, China. On Bill's tombstone were written these words: "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, that was his passion. And that should be our passion. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. You see, you got to have a priority, you've got to have a passion, and point number three, you got to be perplexed. I mean, which one are you going to do? Do you want to live or do you want to die? Paul says, but if I live on in the flesh, this is the fruit for my labor. Yet he says, what I shall choose, I cannot tell you. You see, in this issue of life and death, Paul is perplexed. He said, I don't know which one to choose. I don't know whether I want to live or I don't know whether I want to die. Now let's take a look at how he feels. Here are his choices. Letter A. He says, it's better for me if I go. Verse 23. He says, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far, far better. You see, on one hand, Paul says, if I had the choice, if I could make the choice, I'd check out of here. The word depart means to unloose. The word picture is of a boat being set loose when the rope that was tied to the boat and to the pier, the moorings of the pier, were untied and the boat was pushed out. I remember several times when I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, that I and some friends of mine rode what was known as the Belle of Louisville. It is a steamship, an old steamship with a paddle wheel. And I can remember that we would be there on the pier, we'd get on the boat, and you'd see the ropes around the moorings there at the pier. And it was time for that paddle boat to take off. The shipmates would get out there and would unwind the ropes and throw them on the bell. And then we'd be off on a 3-hour tour. Now, I'm being serious here, folks. It's not Gilligan's Island, okay? Now, granted, we did not have as much of a wardrobe as those seven did. But we went on a 3-hour tour of the Ohio River. And I can still remember standing there at the boat and watching the skyline of Louisville get smaller and smaller as we were departing. And you know what? Paul says that death is just like this. You see, the secular world can only look at death tragically and mournfully. Paul declares that the Christian death is a departure. The destination is heaven. And just as we were leaving that pier of Louisville and the skyline receded in the background, even so, that's the way it is when we die. We depart this world and we go to a better place. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 43? Truly today you will be with me in paradise. But notice what Paul also says. He says, departing and being with Christ is far better than staying here on planet Earth. No pain, no sorrow, no sufferings, no trials, no disappointments, no death. The believer is ushered into the presence of Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, that certainly is far better. I don't know about you, but I wish that kook had been right last week. I'd kind of like for us all just going up to heaven, wouldn't you? I sure would trade heaven for this place, but we're still here. But Paul says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. But there's another choice. Look at letter B. Better for you, Paul says, if I stay. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. You see, like a ship leaving a pier and leaving people we love behind, Paul likewise sees this truth from a spiritual perspective. He saw that work needed to be done. The task of discipleship had not been completed. People still need to be reached. Believers still needed to be equipped. If it were left up to Paul, he didn't know which one to choose. Choice number one benefits Paul the most. Choice number two benefits others the most. Choice number one is far better for Paul. Choice number two is far necessary for others. So since Paul has no say in regard to the choice, he says, I am content with either one. You know, when I think of this verse, these verses, I think of our good friend Sharon Dutrow. Sharon was the administrative assistant to Jamal Badri Music Evangelism Foundation. In the last summer, she was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. She began undergoing treatment. And I will really never forget the phone call that I received from her on a sunny night as we were on vacation in Southern California. She left a voice message that she needed to talk with me. And I knew that getting a phone call from Sharon on my vacation meant that something was seriously wrong. And I was thinking, she has gotten some really, really bad news about her health and her cancer. And I'm so glad I was sitting down when she told me that the reason she was calling was to inform me that our dear friend Jamal Badri had passed away and gone to heaven. Like her, my heart was crushed and our hearts were crushed. But her life went on, and her position is she was elevated to Executive Vice President of Music Evangelism Foundation. As you know, Sharon passed away just a few weeks ago. And as I walked with her through this journey, and as I visited with her and sang to her and prayed with her, I just admired her passion for serving Jesus. She said, "Mike, I know when I die I'm going to heaven, but I'm not ready to go." She said, "There's too much to do. Jamal's gone, and Music Evangelism Foundation just requires my help. And I love this ministry. It's my life in serving Christ. And I love this ministry. And I want to pour my life. And I want more years to pour my life into this ministry." You see, like Paul, she was divided. If she had to pick a choice, it was difficult. But then several weeks ago, God called her home. A few days before she passed away, I went by St. Francis Hospice to visit with Sharon. It was nice. She was in the room by herself, and I went in and we chatted, and she just talked very personally from her heart to mine. And I shared, realizing that her life soon would be over. And I started telling Sharon what a difference her life had made in the lives of so many people, and how she had poured her life into MEF, and how thousands of people had been reached. God had used her in such a wonderful way. She knew her battle was about over. I sang to her, I prayed with her, I was leaving the room, I gave her a hug, and the last thing that Sharon ever said to me was this. Last word she ever said to me was this. She said, "Dr. Mike, Pastor Mike," she said, "everybody needs a little bit of pit bull in them." I'm telling you, she fought to the end because she loved living so much. But like the Apostle Paul, she also eventually departed and was with Christ. You see, since Paul had no say in regard to when his earthly life would end, he says, "I'm content whether it's living or dying, and so should we," right? So should we. On this Memorial Day weekend, we are reminded that followers of Jesus, just like the Apostle Paul, should view death from a totally different perspective than a non-Christian. And we are reminded once again by this text that God has a purpose for each of us as long as we have breath. Paul said, "For me to live, Christ, to die is gain." What about you? Are you ready to die? Are you prepared to die? Do you realize that you have an appointment with death? If you are here today and you have never made peace with God, when you leave this world, you will lose. You see, that's the distinction between a Christian and a non-Christian. A Christian wins if they live. A Christian wins if they die. But if a non-Christian lives, that's a win. But if a non-Christian dies, that is a loss forever and forever. If you've never made peace with God, do it today. Just a moment, Dr. Jerry Nostrand will be to my right. I'll be here in the center aisle. Ross Jaggers will be to my left. And we'll be waiting for you. We want to share with you from God's Word how your life can be transformed today, how Jesus Christ can become your Savior, how you can have a brand new life, how you can have the assurance like the rest of us that when we breathe our last breath here, it is goodbye to this world and to hello to heaven. It is departing on the ship forever to be with our God.